Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing?
Very good. And we also have our good buddy, John Peters, joining us. Your stool's all ready. I know a beer's waiting for you, John.
All right, well, I'll finish my cup of coffee first. I'll grab that in a minute.
Oh, okay. I thought the beer was in the contract. It had to be on top of the bar for you to start to record.
Well, like we said, I don't mind mine a little warm, so I can drink it in a couple of minutes. It'll be all right.
So how you guys doing this great Memorial Day weekend?
Ah, fine. Doing some yard work. Nothing out of the ordinary. Just getting adjusted to summertime temperatures up here in the Northeast.
Yeah, I'm just happy as a pig in, you know what, slop. I usually say something else, but I'll say slop to keep it G-rated here. But I got 3 days off in a row, guys. How did that
Holy
happen?
Holy cow. When was the last time that happened?
3.5 months ago.
You must feel like you're on a sabbatical or something.
Yeah, really.
Actually, the last time I had 3 days off in a row was Christmas time.
Wow.
And that was like the day before Christmas. Day before Christmas Eve, I got off a half day. So 2.5 days off. You know, so it's the first time. It's been a long time. It actually, the body is starting to feel good. You know, because I was getting carpal tunnel in the right hand from working so much. You guys ever get that?
I know you mean repetitive motion stuff. You got to get a break once in a while. I mean, look, even weightlifters will tell you, as much as it may seem like the right thing to do to lift every day, they say you got to get some rest for the muscles to recover in between. So same goes for working and doing the stuff you do.
Yeah, my hands, like, literally, it's falling asleep in the middle of the night and waking me up. And then during the day, I have to take Motrin because the back of my neck from wearing the stilts, staring at the ceiling so much.
Right.
I can feel my arm going to sleep from the back of my neck falling asleep, the nerve in my neck.
Wow.
And I know it's that because when I'm off a day, like with Sunday, by the end of the day, it would start to feel a little bit better.
Right.
It'd still fall asleep at night because of the way I guess I was perched. But I'd feel better, and then as soon as I'd start working again, I could feel all that pain just rolling right back into town.
Right.
This is a much-needed 3 days. We got beautiful weather, too. We're on a heat wave here, John. 3 days in the 90s.
Oh, well, then welcome to my world. So, yeah. Yeah, you're not much different then.
No. Yeah, 3 straight days in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's crazy, and that, but on the newscast, man, unlike you guys, you'd think it was it's a national story. Three straight days at 90, man. It's the leads off all the news. Heat wave. How's it been up there, Dan?
Like I said, it was. We had the one day of the real hot stuff, like you're saying, and then it cooled off last night. We got one of those backdoor cold fronts, they call them, come through and kind of kicked out the humidity. So it's seasonable right now. So it's actually pretty nice.
Yeah, you're not going to see a backdoor cold front for a long time, are you, John?
October, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be the next time for you.
Yeah, it's funny. You go to work here and somebody will complain about the heat and you'll say, nah, in 5 months, it'll be fine. So, you know. But, yeah, that's the way you got to look at it. I mean, we've got 90-degree days until the probably about the second week of October. So,
yeah, but my wife loves it, man. She gets mad at me. She's like, she'll drive in the truck without the air on. In this, she's like built for Florida. It's like beautiful. She's yelling at me to turn the air off upstairs. It's like, yeah, stop it already.
The only thing you'll probably have to worry about her down here is the humidity in her hair. I don't know if your wife's one of those, you know, real sensitive hair types, but the humidity really does a number on some of the ladies' hairs in the morning. But other than that, yeah, the heat's fine. So.
Yeah, she'll be here. She's one of them, but she puts it off. She complains for 15 minutes, puts it off. She's more worried about being cold than her hair. So I she'll be happy down there.
Yeah, my wife grew up in Houston, and it's as humid in Houston as it is in Florida. So she's accustomed to it, you know. So
what about me and Den's hair? You ain't worried about that?
Not too much.
Nothing a ball cap won't take
care
of.
Throw a hat on, you're fine.
Thank goodness for ball caps, let me tell you. Especially for the little spot in the back of my head that's starting to get a little shallow back there.
You got one of those too, huh?
I think we all do. Do you, Den?
Oh, yeah. It's I'm grooming it.
You hit 40, the hair gets shorty in the back. You know what I'm saying? You start to lose it. But go ahead, John.
I was going to say, mine's getting thinner, but I've had gray hair since about almost friggin' 20 years now, so that's nothing new on me.
I'm just starting to get that in my beard, so my goatee, so I might have to shave the goatee if it keeps it off, because it's starting to show my age, and I want to stay with the young whippersnappers on the job. They can't take me down yet, but I don't want the gray hair start showing me having a weakness.
I was trying to save a couple of bucks when on our first house, and I figured I'd mess around with the AC unit myself. And I turned off the breaker, but I missed one, and I shocked myself with the 220 coming out of it.
And
ever since then, it's like probably 2 or 3 weeks later, I started getting a stripe of gray hair, and it's just grown crazy since then. So
that's the culprit.
I'm blaming it on
that.
She
is the gray stripe.
Yeah.
I think it scared the death out of you. That's what
probably
happened.
220 too. You're lucky.
Yeah, it blew me back about 3 feet, and it took me 5 minutes to stand up. So it scared the hell out of me. So.
Yeah, I've been shocked many a times because of me taping with the metal knives, and
right.
The electricians will tell you the power's off, and you'll go to finish around one of the outlets and hit one of the sides.
Oof.
Take a chunk out of your knife, knock you back 5 feet, and then next thing you know, that electrician, when he's on break time, is getting a whole scoop of mud in his pouch. Yeah. How'd this mud get in my tool pouch? And same way the power got turned on, you idiot.
Exactly.
And that mud, when it's wet, obviously is a very good conductor, as along with the metal knife, right?
Exactly. Speaking of that, we had troubles yesterday at the house. My first day off, I'm going to relax. I go down my basement, I hear drippity, drip, drip, drip. Here, where my well comes in the house, one of the pipes, the fittings on the PEX, is cracked, and here my well is dripping all over in my basement floor. And it has to have a PEX fitting that only the well company has, so I had to call them out to come fix it. I couldn't fix it myself.
Yeah, they don't have all those fittings at Home Depot. It's kind of proprietary fittings or whatever, right?
Yeah, and I could have ripped it apart and redid it with my own. But the point is, I paid them $3,800 a couple years ago to fix the well. So I didn't want to go and fix the pipe and be responsible for everything.
Right. Then they'd tell you, no, your warranty's no good, and oh, if you didn't mess with it, it would be working.
Exactly. So $202 later, they fixed it. It took them about, it would have took me about 20 minutes to fix it, but they deserve it. You know, I was happy it was out on a holiday weekend, to be honest with you.
And
the owner was nice. He even texted me, and then he texted me to see if they got here. Then I texted him like 4 hours later, and last night around 7 o'clock, the owner calls me back and goes, did they just leave there? Like, and I really appreciated that
right.
he called me because he was worried that his guys took that long. So then it was, I didn't mind spending the money because the guy deserves it because he runs a good business. I mean, and that's the point I wanted to make. Ain't it nice when the owner actually calls you back?
Yeah, you don't get that nowadays. Oh, I usually don't get that nowadays. It's, you're lucky if you can get them to return a phone call, let alone call you and text you multiple times about a job. So it looks like you did find a diamond in the rough there.
Yeah, the guy's Kevin Anderson Well Drilling is in New Jersey. So if you guys need him, he's good. And this is a free plug. I'm just saying, the guy was, I couldn't believe it. I texted him back because it was my fault late and said thank you. Just to say they did a good job, everything. They came out on the holiday. And the next thing you know, my phone's ringing. He goes, Mr. Davis, did they just leave there? I'm like, no, man, they left hours ago. I just wanted to text you to say thank you, and I appreciate the good service because they were nice guys. So, but, that was how my day went yesterday. But fun stuff. Did you also, I started watching, I haven't seen the whole movie yet. Did you guys hear about that movie with Walt Disney called Before Mickey?
I've seen it on the, I think I saw it on Netflix in the queue there, but I have not watched it.
Yeah, we just started watching it, and it's pretty good. I'm really enjoying it. Me and Brenda this morning actually watched like the first 20 minutes of it, and you could tell it's a kind of an indie movie, if you understand what I'm saying. It's not a big screen production, if you follow me.
Right,
but
right.
It's very. Me and Brenda are really enjoying it. Yeah, it's called Before Mickey. I'm liking it.
Is it a movie or a documentary?
No, it's a movie mentary. It's one of those ones. It's everything's fact based on his life.
Okay.
So obviously, this is Walt's life growing up before Mickey Mouse was with us. Is that?
Yeah, exactly, and it showed you how he meets his whole crew, like Ewoks. You know how he met him, and it shows him actually drawing on his barn as a kid, and his father getting mad at him. When they have to sell the farm, it shows him saying goodbye to all the animals because they're all his friends, and his father's like pissed off, like, why is this kid talking to all these animals? And,
oh, if he only knew, right?
Yes, and then it shows him charging for his first strip, and it shows how bad of a businessman he is. Like,
right,
he goes
right.
to sell his first animation short to the local movie theater, and he charges him 30 cents a foot. And he's on the phone with his brother Roy, and his brother Roy goes, well, Walt, what's it cost you? And Walt goes, 30 bucks a foot, 30 cents a foot. So Roy goes, you forget something? And he goes, yeah, I forgot to add profit in, didn't I? So it showed you what a horrible businessman he was, but how great of a thinker he was, and why
right.
they needed each other so much.
It was more important for him to just get the movie out there or the short out there. He didn't care about making money on it.
Yeah,
that's why they were such a good team. They balanced each other out so well. So.
Exactly, and it shows him getting his first loan from the local doctor, like who invested in him. So, and that's how far we got. So I think you guys would enjoy it.
Okay.
And speaking of that, then, I still have that other movie you gave me.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. This sounds like the movie you're watching now, and that one I sent down to you would dovetail in. It's kind of the same thing, but a little bit different. I think if you watched them back-to-back, they would go well together.
Yeah, well, that's probably going to happen, because I mentioned that to Brent. I said, she goes, you better get that back to him. He's going to be so mad. I said, Dennis, understand. He knows it's not going.
You're good.
I said, he'd have yelled at me already. He's like you. If there was a problem, he'd have said, send it back. It's sitting in my armoire cabinet, and I want to send it, but I haven't seen it yet. And I said, it would be sitting in his cabinet at home.
Right. You'll watch it eventually. You'll be in the right mood some night or day or whatever, and you'll watch it. Just send it back after you watch it, whenever that is.
Yeah. If worst case scenario, I bring it to you in the fall.
There you go. That would be even better.
Yeah, so hopefully.
You bring it down, leave it with me, I'll watch it, and then I'll give it to Dennis when I see him.
There you go. There you go.
That works.
But that was all my gabbing for the weekend. You guys got anything else you want to talk about before we get into the news?
No, I'm good.
Well, why don't you start us off, my good buddy?
All right, now that my iPad froze because we were so lengthy.
That's par for the course. You know that. I could bellow on some more. Do you want me to talk about the trees and the leaves out in the backyard?
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about trees and leaves, actually, in a roundabout way. But the opening night at the Jungle Book, Alive with Magic, I guess, happened this weekend. Not I guess, it did. Let's see here. The limited engagement show features traditional Indian music and dance combined with popular music and imagery from the Jungle Book. And they're showing video clips of this. Did either of you see this on video or perhaps John in person?
No, I haven't gone back out there just yet, but we're planning on heading out there next weekend. I don't know if we'll get over for that, but it's my wife's birthday weekend, so it's pretty much up to her what she wants to do. So.
Tell the missus happy birthday. She's probably going to spend a lot of time in Mouse Gears.
Probably.
Or on Main Street. What is it, Dennis, your favorite store? On Main Street.
In the Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, and on Main
Emporium?
Street. Emporium? There you go. She might want to go there too, John.
Her favorite's Mouse Gear. We'll probably be in there for quite a while. So.
But to answer your question, Dan, me and Brenda watch this whole thing. They have the whole video. WDW Magic had the whole video they recorded last night. And I watched it from start to finish. It's like 26 minutes. It's good, but Brenda said it's no Illuminations.
Well, that's a high bar to get over.
I think the River of Lights is going to be better than this show. I enjoyed it, but I didn't love it either.
Well, I mean, I liken it to, and not that I've seen it, but my understanding of it was, and this is just how I thought of it or think of it in my head. Remember at the Magic Kingdom, they have that little pre-show where they project things on the castle. At first, they did all the pictures from people being around the parks during the day. Then they added in, you know, different animation and stuff on it. I think this is a little better than that, but it's kind of, it is really designed to be a pre-show. So I would hope the Rivers of Light is much, much better. This really isn't anywhere near the level of show that the Rivers of Light will be, I think.
No, you're 100% right. I mean, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't awe-inspiring the way that, because I have the surround sound, the whole nine yards, the flat, we really could see everything. The dancing was okay. It just wasn't, it didn't, get me going the way Illuminations does, or even Wishes.
Right.
Well, you have emotional attachments to both of those, really, right? So, I mean, it would take a while before you would have any type of a connection with it. So.
But I agree, but I disagree with you. Like, Illuminations, the very first time I saw it, I was addicted to it. The same thing, the same thing with, the Tapestry of Dreams, the Tapestry of Nation Parade. As soon as that first music, the first couple verses of that music played, wasn't you addicted to that? Weren't you addicted to that?
Yeah. But again, I think you're missing my point that the put it this way, if they didn't show Wishes at the Magic Kingdom and they just showed, and I forget what they call it, somebody help me out, there's a name for it, that little 17-minute pre-show thing they do before
Wishes.
You're comparing that to Illuminations, which is a world-class nighttime spectacular, there's no way it's going to compare. It's not even in the same stratosphere.
Yeah, but this one's actually 28 minutes. They put on a pretty big show. There's a lot of somebody might like it more than me. I mean, I'm not saying they didn't put, and I agree, I understand what you're saying, Dan, but there's a lot more put into this than the pre-show that's at Wishes, because there's dancers and everything else. There's a whole stage show going on during this.
Yeah, and I haven't seen it, so I you know, take your word for it. You watched it. I just wonder if they added that in just because that, you know, this really is a giant pacifier to all the fans that were outraged that the Rivers of Light didn't go off when Disney had set a date.
Yeah, I agree. I just, the music, the whole, the what I, this show just doesn't grab me the way the music is just not my cup of tea. It just, I don't know. You guys should watch it and see it and let me know. Because you might not. Dennis, you might as well watch it, because it's probably not going to be there when you get down there.
Yeah, and I was just going to ask that question.
That's why I watched it, for sure.
Yeah, I see. I'm thinking it will be. I think they'll do it like the Magic Kingdom, unless they've specifically said this is just a filler. Maybe they did. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I read that it was.
Yeah,
that it was
just a filler.
It was put there until the River of Lights open, because I don't see where they'll have the time. If this is 28 minutes, River of Lights, I mean, you're talking over an hour of shows.
Yeah, that would be quite a bit. And they run this, twice a night, right?
Yeah, so I don't know if they'll be able to do, you know, both of them at night. But I think seeing it in person would give it a little more justice, but I don't think much. Because I could see everything. They did a great job filming it. So everything is in frame. You get to see the entire show. And I don't know, it just wasn't. And you know how much I love the Animal Kingdom, guys. I wanted it to be awesome. It didn't grab. I liked it. I'd watch it when I go down there, but I just, it wasn't instantaneous love for me like the other shows were, especially like Illuminations is.
Right.
Yeah.
So. I mean, hey, it's, you know.
You guys might tell
honest.
Me I'm an idiot. You guys might tell me I'm nuts because you have before. It wouldn't be the first time.
You got to be honest, and you know, every show isn't for every person, and not that you wouldn't see it again, but it's just not your favorite, that's all.
No, I mean, I can just listen to the music of Illumination to get more excited than watching the lights, and it's amazing. Like, we watched I did watch also at the same time, remember when they did they had all the, how can I speak English? Can I? They had all the reporters down there, and they had a preview for them for the River of Lights.
Right.
And they were showing the lasers and everything coming out of the flowers in the water. Now, that was awesome.
Right.
That I can't wait for. I mean, that looks – and the music for that kind of grabbed me quite a bit. It just, I was expecting as much out of this, and it just didn't deliver for me.
Is it all about the Jungle Book?
Yes, it's the whole Jungle Book show. It's like a, that's why it's the Indian music, the dancers, the whole nine yards. Like, there's a stage, and it's pretty cool. Like, boats come floating in, there's barges, and there's actually dancers out on the barges. I mean, okay. There's a lot of effort put into it. It just, the music around it, just the theme didn't, like, drag me in. I didn't hate it, and I appreciate how much work went into it, but I would be going on Dinosaur and running on different rides and doing Kilimanjaro Safari at night while everybody else was over here, I could say.
Dennis?
No, go right ahead, John.
I was going to say, do you think if you were a giant fan of the Jungle Book, would you like it more, you think?
Probably, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm going to go see, I haven't seen it yet, and we're dying too. I just haven't had time. Me and Bren's been talking about going to see that, and I might appreciate it more after I see the new movie.
Well, one of my wife's favorite animated movies is the original Jungle Book, so I'm just wondering if she would like it a lot just based on that.
She probably would. What were you going to say, Dine?
Well, no, that's what I was going to say, and I thought John was going to make that point. If the music is music from the Jungle Book movie, the original, or even this remake, I don't know if they wrote or had new music for the movie. It wasn't designed to be part of a nighttime spectacular where Illuminations and Wishes, although they do use some of the music from the animated movies, there is some pieces in there, or at least where they string them together. It isn't exciting enough, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? It's just the songs from the movie, whereas, you know, Illuminations, you have the, you know, it slowly builds up to the crescendo, and then it, you know, it has highs and lows and kind of, you know, gets you emotionally attached to it, where I don't think music from the Jungle Book is going to do that to you, because it's in a show as opposed to just being in the movie.
Well, But on the positive side, I want to say I was so excited. It was just awesome, and it has me excited about being in the Animal Kingdom at night. Just watching the people watch the show, like wishing I was there to experience the Animal Kingdom at this time of night. I cannot wait. I mean, that's what I'm truly excited about. I'm so happy that this park is open. I mean, till 11 o'clock on some nights. I cannot wait to experience that.
Yeah, it's foreign ground for all of us. I mean, most of us are, you know, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at the latest. We're long gone by then, right?
Yeah. It's just going to be one of those things. I mean, you're at the keep. One of the things I'm nervous about is you have to keep an eye on kids at that park at night, because it'd be very easy for them to get lost at that park at night. So be careful with all how dark it is.
Yeah, some of them pass. I mean, I imagine they're going to be really dark, so.
Exactly, because they're not going to. It's not going to be lighted like the other parks. You know what I mean? You could tell. It's going to be subdued through there. I mean, from some of the video I've seen of people there at night, it's a lot darker than all the other parks. And like even at the certain places at the Magic Kingdom, would get pretty dark over in Frontierland and stuff like that. And because Disney sets mood lighting. So, I mean, just be careful with the kids at night roaming around the Animal Kingdom. There's a lot of places for them to go hide on you. You know what I mean?
Yep.
A lot of cracks and crevices and pathways and vegetation and such. Very easy to do that.
Yeah, so be cautious of that. I'd be careful of that. I'd be worried about that is what I'm saying. So what's up next, Denny?
Yeah, let's see. Epcot's hugely popular Soarin' reopened today, which I believe was over this weekend, if I'm not mistaken, giving guests another chance to see the original soaring over California. Like most days at Soarin', the early morning crowd arrived in large numbers to hit the standby line. I'm looking at some pictures here of our favorite restaurant, or one of our favorite restaurants. Looks all the same to me. Looks like they added some lighting and stuff. It's still the concrete pathway. Your favorite queue line, right?
Yeah. Holy moly. Look at the crowds in there.
Yeah. It's crazy.
They didn't look nothing like that. But look how empty the land is there. I mean, the Sunshine Seasons right now. You can see the empty seats in there. But that won't last long.
Oh, no. Yeah, new IMAX laser projectors deliver an incredibly clean image with zero artifacts visible, a much welcome change from the often dirty projection of the original ride. Even with the old film, the difference is significant, and it is sure to be improved even further with the new film opening later in July, in June. The original Soaring film takes guests over California's popular sites, including the Golden Gate Bridge, Napa Valley, and Yosemite National Park, and will play at Epcot through June 16th. The new Soarin' Around the World will debut on June 17th.
Now you can see the clarity, Dan, in these pictures that are here, how much clearer the images even look.
Yeah, that's so overdue. I mean, it's like a bad joke it's been the last few years, the holes and different dust, and it's just been crazy.
So you're going to see if you can get a fast pass for it next week, John?
We've got a fast pass for the 11th, and I made that before I realized that it's going to be the California one, so I don't know if we'll get out there.
No, do it, dude. I mean, one last view of it, I would die. That's what I was going to say. I would love to be able to go on it one more time, especially with the new video, with everything being so clear.
Yeah, if we get a chance, we'll get out there that day to see it, but our 60-day window opened for our vacation at the Polynesian. And so I was able to get a fast pass for the new version on that trip, and I also got Frozen Ever After. So we'll be on those two things when we get out there. So
John, don't you just want to kick him somewhere, Dennis? Like every time he's on the show with us.
I am your correspondent.
I like the fact at least. Yeah, we can see it through his eyes, exactly.
Well, I'm happy about that, but I'd also like to kick him sometimes, too. But would you guys wait 180 minutes in the standby line for this?
I wouldn't wait 180 minutes for anything, to tell you the truth.
I mean, I think I did years ago when the kids were small, but no, those days are over. I wouldn't wait. No way. I'm just, you know they're going to do this. Now that they have the new projectors and everything, they'll put that original film away for safekeeping, and there'll be some commemorative anniversary 10, 15 years down the road where they'll break that bad boy out and show it again. You know that's coming.
Yeah, what I would love to see them do is put the new show on the two screens and put the original one on one screen every once in a while.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Kind of not like Star Wars, but, you could almost maybe choose which version you want to see. They could very easily do that. I was thinking if they would have added a fourth theater and run two and two or something like that where, because people that have never, there's always thousands of people every year, I would think,
millions.
Or hundreds of thousands or millions that have never been to Disney World. So it would be new for them, and that way it wouldn't get old just seeing the same one all the time. But, yeah, I think, I wouldn't worry about seeing Soaring Over California. I think you're going to have ample opportunity in the future to see it, if not regularly, periodically throughout these years.
No, I just stand in front of the big screen and put it on surround sound, and I sway back and forth in my office and watch it. I've been caught doing that a couple times. I stand up, put it on the flat screen, thinking I'm all alone with it playing, and then somebody will pop their head in the door saying, "You idiot."
But, dude,
when you don't get down there every day like you, John, you got to create your own happy place. I tell everybody all the time, between Soarin' and Illuminations, it gets me out of a lot of bad moods. Let me tell you, that music. So
yeah, it is great mood-changing music, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
So let's see here. Starting, what is it here?
He lost his mind again, John.
Yep, the old finger on the iPad did me in. Starting Sunday, May 29th, there will be new bus routes from the Walt Disney World Resort hotels to both of Disney's water parks. To get to Typhoon Lagoon from a resort, you need to take a bus to Disney Springs. Oh, joy, before 1 p.m. You should not need to change. Before 1 p.m., you should not need to change at Disney Springs, but after 1 p.m., a bus change might be required. To get to Blizzard Beach, you will first need to take a bus to Disney's Animal Kingdom, then get a bus to Blizzard Beach from Animal Kingdom. Well, what do you guys think about that?
Disney's saving more money and charging us more money.
I would think it's a bigger deal when you're leaving those parks because you're wet and you've got your kids wrapped in towels, and now you're going to have to get off at Disney Springs and get on another bus. That sounds kind of a pain in the butt. So
yeah. I'm glad I don't do the water parks, because that would not be good.
No, and there was times where I remember a few years ago, I forget what it was, is, oh, that's what it was, when you would head over to the Animal Kingdom, there was times where, do you remember that from Riverside then, when you ride the bus, that they would stop at one of the water parks on the way to the Animal Kingdom?
Oh, yeah, they used to stop Blizzard Beach,
yep.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. And that used to burn me up. I used to be like, and not for the people who were going there, but I was like, I'd say, why don't they have their own bus just for this? Like, why does everybody, because then you, for the same reason, Dan, you'd see people getting picked up and getting drug all around soaking wet.
Yeah. When we used to, yeah, I mean, just a few short years ago, they used to do it all the time. We used to, whenever we headed out to the Animal Kingdom, we'd stop at Blizzard Beach if we were at Riverside or whatever. And it was just, you know, and I used to appreciate the bus drivers that would at least ask the question, is anybody going to Blizzard Beach? Because if not, he would continue on. Mm-hmm. But then you get these newbie bus drivers that I must stop at my predetermined stop, and they would go there and it, you know, burn you up. Nobody would get off or on, you know, so I always got a kick out of that.
Yeah, and the other thing is what about the poor people? If you don't have the good bus driver, which I've seen this too, the people get on with their wet suits and everything else and leave the seats wet. Now you're in your nice white pants, your wife is, or somebody headed to, you're going to eat that night at the parks and the seats are wet. And you don't realize it when you sit down, because you're not expecting to sit down in wet, you know, wet seat on a Disney bus.
Right. Yeah, that's one of those things. And, you know, I think we know why they don't have its own bus, because it just doesn't have the traffic to, you know, to, in Disney's mind, to justify it. But it would make life easier because, you know, I know you don't take the buses that much, Doug. You usually have your car, and John, you too, for that matter. So it's not a big deal. But time is money on a vacation, and all those little, you know, 10 or 15 minutes here and there, they add up.
Well, that's why I get in trouble, and we get the emails that people are upset with us for complaining about it. And we only do it because, again, a lot of this stuff I'm complaining about don't even pertain to me. I drive to the park, so this don't bother me, but I still feel bad for the people that are going down there, like you just said, Dan, and they get stuck at Blizzard Beach for 20 minutes. You know, because somebody has to get off with a stroller or has 8 kids, and nothing against them. They deserve to be going too, but you're trying to get to the Animal Kingdom early for drop drop, and you're stuck waiting on the boat, on the bus for 20 people to get on.
Right. And like you said, we should be mad at Disney. Yeah. It's not the people's fault.
No, exactly.
They're just going with the flow, right?
They're doing their job. But you're sitting there like, oh, my God, couldn't he have folded the stroller earlier? You're always the Monday morning quarterback. You know it's in you. Oh, you're telling me she couldn't have grabbed the purse? She couldn't have put her purse in the pamper bag? I mean, come on. Or, you know, it's like when you're at the store and the person's in front of you waiting in line for 15 minutes and all of a sudden they pull out their checkbook and set it on the counter. It's like, come on, you could have been filling this out the whole time, or when they're rooting for change. Have your change purse out. Yeah, I mean, you know you're going to be paying. You know, I mean, because I'll say to them, when is the last time that you bought something that it came to exactly that dollar amount?
Right.
You know, I mean, you didn't know you were going to need that change as they go back in their purse, and then they're rooting for it, or blah, I mean, digging for it. You know, just give them a five, man. Put more change in your pocket. And they're saying,
"No, this is my time to shine. I'm in line, and I'm up to bat here, and I'm gonna do it my way."
Yeah, exactly. But don't that drive you nuts? Like when you'll be digging, you'll see dumb. It's digging for 15 cents for an hour. I don't have anywhere to be, man. You take care of you, and that's how you get. You end up blaming the person when it's really somebody else's fault when you're on the bus. That's my
sounds like Doug needs to go watch Illuminations and Soarin'.
Exactly. I need to calm down. See, I'm that guy. I'm the cop. I told you guys this. I'm the guy that asked the police officer if he's handicapped when he parks in the handicap spot, because that's what I got to do. Well, I told you that story, right, John?
No.
The police officer at the local Wawa pulled in the handicap spot, and I went up to him and I said, "It's so nice that our township hires the disabled." And he goes, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, is there a robbery going on here? What's going on here? Why are you parked there? If I was parked there, I'd be getting a ticket." He goes, "What are you, a funny guy?" I said, "No." I said, "If my mother or my grandfather or whatever was coming to park here now, you would have the spot so you can go in and get your free coffee." But that's who I am. I have to say it when it's true.
At least you didn't say donut or something.
No. But,
yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? That it's just wrong. Why was he parked there? I was only asking a question. I was being a funny guy, but he didn't find it too funny. But
you're lucky you didn't get a ticket.
I didn't do
anything
wrong.
Yeah, I bet you didn't pull out in front of him when you left.
He asked me for license register. I gave him everything. I have nothing against me. I did nothing wrong. He was doing something he wasn't supposed to, and he was lashing out at me.
But, so what did he do? Tell you to move along? Or?
Exactly. I laughed. I had no problems after he took my license and ran it to see if I was an idiot, which I am an idiot. I would have came up an idiot, but I had no priors or anything against me.
Can't get arrested for that, right?
Exactly.
He was hoping you had an outstanding parking ticket or something.
Exactly.
He was just looking for something.
Exactly. Wow. But he deserved it. You know what? He probably didn't park in that handicapped spot the next day, and I did my due diligence.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like you end up taking out on somebody else when they put you in these situations. And you shouldn't be stuck on these buses like that. They should have an – they're making enough money to have a bus to run to the water parks. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they do. And actually, Dennis, I was going to tell you, when we are there for more than one night or two nights, we do take a lot of the buses because as you guys know, I like to – indulge in a drink or
Not
two at the park. Yeah, so I don't want to have to worry about that. And then in addition to that, my wife's got that scooter, and getting that in and out of the car is a job and a half. So if I can get it out one time and we can take the buses the rest of the time, it's great. So
yeah. No, and it is good that you do that, John, in all seriousness. I mean, we do that, or we cab it, as I've advocated many a times, because for that very reason, because, you know, or like Doug said earlier, I mean, you don't want to go on vacation and lose your license and end up costing you your career. So,
exactly.
You know, if we're even just having a couple glasses of wine or something, you never know, you know. You might think you're all right and you're slightly over the limit, and next thing your whole life is in an upheaval. So I strongly recommend taking the buses or a cab or, you know, some other mode of transportation other than driving your car if you're going to be out, you know, enjoying the evening.
Absolutely. And why, again, you could also inconvenience somebody else if, God forbid, you do something stupid because you're in that situation. That's why I'm looking forward to staying at Riverside. I mean, that's the main reason we want to stay there. Because we were thinking about going there. If we can't get Riverside, we're going to go to Coronado with you guys.
Yeah.
But the reason we want to stay at Riverside is because me and Brenda plan on, as you say, partaking in multiple nights of the restaurants at Disney Springs.
Right.
So I want to be able to take that. I think there'll be nothing more romantic, because I am a romantic guy, of having drinks and eating, having nice meals with my wife, and then taking that beautiful boat ride back home at the end of the night. How better to end the night than one of those rides back to Riverside?
So tranquil, and you know, you're right, Doug. It couldn't get a better mode of transportation, I don't think.
Yeah, because that's what I plan on. If we go earlier to this, if we don't make it at Food and Wine, we're going to definitely have Food and Wine at Disney Springs. That's our goal.
Yeah, there's plenty of offerings down there now, that's for sure.
Yeah, our goal is to go spend the days at all the parks, and maybe one night over at Illuminations, but the rest of the night spending them at Disney, you know, coming home, shower, and then having our dinners at Disney Springs and enjoying that, each of the different restaurants.
That's quite a plan.
Yeah, big plan. What's next, my brother?
Yeah, Disney Springs opened its new bus loop.
Yay.
Let's see here. They opened their brand new bus terminal today, this weekend, I guess, bringing a significant improvement for guests arriving at Walt Disney World Transportation. Not only is there a new bus terminal, there are now dedicated lanes along Buena Vista Drive for Disney buses. The bus lanes are in a central area separated from other traffic. Wow, this is like the Jersey Turnpike, Doug.
Yeah.
You know that separate truck lane there? Located along the town center, the bus loop is much like the one found at the Magic Kingdom. It is centrally located between the orange and lime garages, giving arriving guests in the center of Disney Springs. It's large and spacious, with plenty of stops for current and future resorts. The walkways are wide and each bus stop is covered. Typical Disney bus stops. Unlike at the parks, there is a separate bus drop-off and pickup area. Drop-off is directly in front of the main entrance in the town center. That's nice. Buses quickly stop, unload guests, and then move back to the pickup areas.
It kind of reminds me, if you look at the picture, if you took away the surrounding, it reminds you of the bus stop at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, similar. You're right.
Yeah, the way it's designed.
Yeah, it's big. We saw it last time we were at the Orange Garage. We were walking out, and they were almost ready to open it up. It's right there in front of Planet Hollywood. So.
That's nice.
Yeah. Arriving guests are greeted with a beautiful new main entrance to the property with a short walk through the center of the town center. This is not the only entrance, however. Guests can choose to walk along the path to two other entrances into the town center, one near Planet Hollywood and one near closer to Zara. If you know where Zara is, John might know.
No.
Also today is the opening of the new wheelchair and stroller rental location, Sundries.
That's pretty cool.
They have an actual storefront. It's very well themed, and it's just for stroller and wheelchair rentals. It's located near the Orange Garage, just behind the Coca-Cola store. This is now the only location for rentals at Disney Springs. The store also sells baby care items. The old marketplace stop will soon be used for charter buses and will no longer be used by Walt Disney World Transport. Wow, there's a whole operation for this. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, they're so set up. If you even look, like, they even have like a tunnel that takes you into the... Did you see that little tunnel area that you walk through? It kind of reminds you of the train station with benches and stuff there. And it has advertisement for all the stores that are on the property.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah,
all that stuff. It's like it just looks so foreign. It looks like it could be a Universal or something. It just doesn't look like anything Disney to me because it's just so foreign.
Yeah, it looks good, though. Very good.
That it does. Let's see here. I'm not going to do the dining review.
Real quick before you go on, Dennis, I was going to ask you guys, seeing those pictures of how beautiful that water looks at Disney Springs, how long do you think it'll be before somebody gets arrested thrown out of the parks for going swimming in there?
What, you got ideas, John?
It's probably already happened.
Don't leave any...
It's gorgeous, though, so, I mean, you know somebody's going to get that bright idea on one of these hot afternoons and jump in that water, so...
It looks like Bermuda water, doesn't it? Caribbean? How beautiful and blue
that,
it is?
Aqua, green-blue hue to it, yeah.
Yeah, I seen a video, too. There was a girl painter from one of my local, my union. She's a part of the Allied Trades that I'm a part of. And there was a video that we had. It showed how they sprayed all that bottom to keep it looking like that, too.
Right, right.
Yeah, that whole thing is made, it's like a, I don't know, epoxy, a fiberglass. Like, that was all man-made. And it showed them spraying all the different details in the bottom of that, too. Did you ever see that, John?
Yeah, I saw that, and it really looks like, I think I mentioned it before, we have several springs here in Florida where that's where the best water is. If you can actually get to a spring, it's so much better than the well water you can get here. Mm-hmm. But when I was a kid, we used to go swimming at Rock Springs, and the water came out of a cave, and it was crystal clear, and it would go probably a mile just past the... throw an inner tube in and float down it on top of the water would run over some rocks and stuff like that, and it was all just beautifully crystal clear, and it reminds me immensely of that. So
it looks beautiful. I'm jumping in.
It's the first one.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Themed Entertainment Association publishes the 2015 theme park attendance estimates. The industry report provides a guide to theme park attendance worldwide, given estimates of attendance change year on year. Disney and most other large theme parks do not provide any official attendance figures, so this report represents the only published estimate of attendance. The Magic Kingdom continues as the world's most visited theme park with just over 20.4 million guests in 2015, a rise of 6% from 2014, which is up from the 3% rise the year before. Epcot saw a rise of 3% to just under 11.8 million guests, which is an improvement of 2% increase in the previous year. Disney's Hollywood Studios was up 5% to 10.8 million guests, up from the 2% increase the last year, as was Disney's Animal Kingdom, which saw a boost of 5%, up to 10.8 million guests. Over at the water parks, both Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach saw 5% rises in attendance, with Typhoon Lagoon receiving nearly 2.3 million visits, and Blizzard Beach just over 2.1 million. Here is a summary of percentage change from last year at the other main, with the theme parks throughout the world. Magic Kingdom, 6%. Disneyland, 9%. Tokyo Disneyland, -4%. Universal Studios Japan, 17.8%. Tokyo Disney Sea, -3.5%. Epcot was up 3%. Animal Kingdom up 5%. Disney's Hollywood Studio, 5%. Disneyland Park at Disneyland Paris, 4.2%. Universal Studios Florida, 16%. Disney's California Adventure, 3%. Islands of Adventure, 8%. Hong Kong Disneyland, -9.3%. SeaWorld Orlando, 2%. Walt Disney Studios Paris, no longer in the top 25. Wow. So that gives you some ideas. Theme park attendance.
Well, that park's supposed to be like super, super small too, I think, the one in Paris. From everything
I thought it was a Disneyland or the Hollywood Studios one out there that opened the Ratatouille ride. I thought it was the Studios one, wasn't it? Or was it the Disneyland part?
I think it was Disneyland, but I could be wrong. But it's amazing how those three parks that are minus are the reason why all the tickets or prices are going up here.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why still Taste Track's not open. I told you guys last couple of times we tried to get that grilled cheese there, they've been closed. And even this 2 weeks ago when we were out there, they still have it closed. So I don't know if they've closed it down or what, so... No more grilled cheese for a while.
That's sad. Well, maybe it's what we talked about. Maybe it's closed for the summer and open back up during the winter. Because the grilled cheese and the tomato soup is kind of like winter food.
Yeah, you may be right.
Let's hope it's that.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, in the middle of a hot summer day, I'm not in the mood for a grilled cheese and a tomato soup.
Right, you
know,
right.
Now, November, December, February, you know, those times, yeah, tomato soup, grilled cheese, that's comfort food for the cold.
Yeah.
Well, we'll look for it in the back in the fall. Let's see here. Disney cuts wait times at Toy Story Mania with the opening of a third track. See, all these things were going to open, and now they're all open, which is nice. It opened on May 27th. Disney's Toy Story Mania at Disney's Hollywood Studios unveiled its new third track edition with a soft opening. Located in the original Soundstage 1, adjacent to the original ride, Toy Story Mania now takes up nearly all of the original soundstage space at the park.
Did you see any of that? I looked at, I seen pictures and video of it. It's pretty wild. They have like these long hallways now that you, like you'll go through the normal line and then you cut off into a large corridor. And the new loading area doesn't have, remember how the old one has that bridge like that you walk over and you can look down? The new one, you walk out straight into the new loading area. But it's pretty wild looking. This hallway, it's I don't know how to explain it. It's just eerie how long it is with the painting. It kind of reminds you of something of like the Cat in the Hat or something, of how long that hallway is. It's eerie. You'll see what I'm talking about when you guys look at it.
Wow. Things will change once the attendance to the attraction is moved to the back of the building as part of the new Toy Story Land. But until then, here is how it works. And, I see what you're talking about now.
Yeah, you see that hallway? Like, isn't it like it's kind of like Freaky Deaky, man. If you had a little buzz going, it would kind of freak you out going down that hallway.
A little bit like The Shining? With the stripes. Like two little twin girls at the end or anything, are there?
No. But like,
or it the clown, right?
Yeah, the clown. Because clowns freak me out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, me too.
I don't know if you have your phone open or not, John, or your iPad, but you see what I'm talking about now, then?
Oh, yeah. It's the way it's painted, and it looks eerie for some reason.
And the other thing is I could totally see how narrow that is. My wife would go insane with claustrophobia if that is full of people.
Right.
Like, that would, you better be able to run right down that hallway and get to the other end, because if she's stuck in the middle of that, things could get ugly. that's an awful narrow hallway in and out.
It is. Guests enter Toy Story Mania through either of the existing standby for FastPass Plus lines. Once at the merge point, guests are then either directed up a staircase to the original two tracks or via a door to a new third track based on capacity at each side. A long hallway leads to the new addition.
Now, the exit one is a little better. It kind of seems wider with the painting of it because it has that light teal blue and, like, a grayish white.
Right, it
makes it seem wider. Like, that orange on the way in, man, that just seems tight to me. I can feel my wife's fingernails going into my arm already with a crowd.
The load area is similar to the original, once again themed as Andy's bedroom. And it is just a single track. The area is smaller, and unlike the original, it loads and unloads from the same side and does not have a staircase over the track. The third track appears to be significantly reducing wait times, with the queue moving much quicker than before. The exit leads to another long corridor, which you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
I see what you mean.
It's the painting. It's the illusion of it.
Yeah, because it looks bigger.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. But I think you're right. If you look at the floor, it looks the same width.
Exactly. It shows you what the different color paints will do for a different area.
Yeah.
Because that one, the one going in, man, it looks like a fun house. Like, remember how you go to the carnival and... Or you'd have the haunted house, not like Disney's,
yep.
but the haunted house would have corridors like this where
yep.
people reach through the walls and scary. And that's what it reminds you of. It's like, it's creepy looking to me. And you
yeah.
know how much I love the Toy Story queue. But this hallway will creep us out. Especially with a load of people. They better have good ventilation, too, on a hot, sweaty day. That hallway's going to smell good on the way in. Oh, man. Especially with people that don't believe in underarm deodorant. It ought to be good.
Yeah.
That should be a law, shouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah,
it should be.
But you know what I mean? That kind of, it makes Soren's hallways seem huge. Because you know how even that could get with a big crowd.
Oh, yeah. People get four and six across. Big families that can... throttle it down and choke it down the pedestrian traffic there for sure.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what kind of claustrophobic feeling that's going to cause.
Well, we'll find out soon.
I started trouble again, didn't I?
Yeah, let's see. The Lego store at Disney Springs has a brand new exterior paint scheme as part of the rejuvenation of the marketplace area. Looks totally different. Talking about how paint changes the look of a facade. I've never seen some of these details in this building with this new paint scheme, but this is interesting, or at least I find it interesting. It started with, Fulton's. It seems like one by one, all of the existing or pre-existing things to before the Disney Springs kind of took over are all getting at least facelifts, if not menu changes, if not wholesale renovations. So it's good, I think, that, except what did we say, Bongo's, I guess, is the only one that I guess is going to kind of stay the same, at least from what we know right now. But everything else is kind of getting a facelift down there.
Yeah, I mean, that whole area, Bongo's, Wolfgang Puck's, I mean, they did a little bit, but still the facade on Wolfgang's looks the same over there. That West End pretty much stayed a little bit the same, but the whole landing and the town center, everything over by that side, I think it's probably in Disney's contract, like kind of like, you know how certain communities are. Either you keep up with the times or you're out. And I think that's what Disney probably told Fulton's and the Lego store and all. We're redoing all this, and you have to if you want to keep a tenant. You want to be a tenant here.
Yeah, I think I said this before, Doug. When I used to work at the mall, that's the way all those stores at the malls are run. They may sign a 10-year lease or whatever, but there is language in the contract that says every so many years you have to change your sign, paint, put new carpets, whatever. You need to stay current and make your store, spick and span, if you will. So I'm sure it's similar to that down there at the at Disney Springs.
Yeah, they probably told him, listen, we're redoing the place. You need to redo your place to fit into the facade. Well, you got to look like the rest of the community.
Well, and I also think that they realized that with all these new exciting places, if they hope to attract any amount of business, they're going to have to because, people are going to be running in droves to check out all these new places. And, you want to at least stand a shot to, bring in some, business.
Well, like Fulton's, make perfect example. Fulton's was off my radar with all the new stuff coming. Now it's back on my radar with their remodeling now. Like, I consider that new, like the boathouse and everything else now that they're redoing it.
paddlefish.
Yeah, with the new lounge up top. I'm excited about going to the top of that boat and hanging out at the lounge and having a couple of drinks. You know, that's on my to-do list and when I go down, if it's open by the time I get there.
Absolutely.
You know, grab a Coors Light or, you know, Canadian, anything, and just chill up there with just a couple appetizers for an hour, you know? That sounds like a great time to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
And I know you jumped over it, and I won't cover the whole thing, but did you look at any of that review on the STK Steakhouse?
I did not, only because I didn't know who wrote the review, and I didn't want to start talking about somebody's story without their permission. That's only the reason why, but if you want to just take highlights from it, and you can, sure, go right ahead.
I just want to say, and I'll go on my own by just the pictures, not by what they read or whatever like that. But what I'm excited about is there's three different areas where you can eat in here. The downstairs is like elegant, and then the second story and the outside is a little more casual. And then they also have an area like there's a fire pit for like the fall, which really looks cool. And then the cool thing about it is there's supposed to be a DJ in there, and it starts off with lighter music, and then as the night goes on, it gets a little more club-like. But the food, really, the salmon, the steak, I mean, they sell you this 20-ounce steak is like $51, but the cool part is it's set up to where you could share that steak. So you can order things like the truffle fries, everything is ordered a la carte, but it's not frowned upon to share. So you don't have to order two $51 steaks, which it sounds pricey, but I could never eat a 20-ounce steak. Could either one of you guys?
No.
Yeah, that's a little tough.
What is the 20-ounce steak, does it say?
It's a strip. New York strip to 20
strip.
Ounce.
Strip, okay.
That's what I actually made last night on the grill.
That's what we had too. So.
Yeah, I took the picture of it, forgot to put it out, but I'll tell you what, it was good stuff. What I like about it, they have like this gourmet mac and cheese. They got these truffle fries that are like $10. But you can order these things a la carte and then share. And I like the idea of that with me and Brenda, because me and her could a $51 steak split between two people is not a big deal when it's a 20-ounce. Because what would end up happening is if me and Brenda each ordered that on our own, 20 ounces would be going in the trash because we'd never eat the whole thing.
Yeah, well, if you remember, that's what the Boathouse was taking a beating when they released their menu early on, because they had that $110 steak, remember?
Yeah.
But we come to find out that it was designed to split, you know, two ways or possibly even more. And when you look at it like that, it wasn't that bad of a deal. I mean, still expensive, but it wasn't totally outrageous. So keep that in mind when you see some of these high-priced items on these menus.
Yeah, I mean, for me and Brent, a buck and a half, something like that, isn't a bad night out if you're treated right. You know, now when you get higher than that, then I start to think, but for that rate, you know, I always plan on a buck to a buck and a half at a really nice place. Ain't that what you plan on for the two of you, Dan?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, going into it, you know, you might not know exactly what you want, but you have in your mind what an average dinner. I mean, I look at it like this. I know what it costs me when I'm back home, and then, you know, when I'm in Disney, I have a different mindset, you know, where I'd be screaming at the top of my lungs if I was back home paying that kind of money. Mm-hmm. Down in Disney, I'm kind of, you know, ready for it. But you're right, Doug. You round up to the nearest $50 or $100, and when you do your dining budgeting, or at least when we do, that's how I do it. And you're right. I would, for a night out for two, you're looking at, you know, $1, $1.15, depending on where you're going with tip, whether or not you're going to have a couple drinks beforehand or not, you know, might, you know, kick that up a little bit more. But yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, $1, $1.50, I'm not upset. But like you were saying, like $100 each of steak, not, homie's not gonna play that. You know, that's not how I'm going. I mean, I don't know. I just don't think it's the prices don't look that bad, and I'm really excited about, I'm glad STK Steakhouse is another dining experience I'm gonna get to do when we get down there in the fall or whenever we get down there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It looks really good.
Yep. And for dessert, you can go over to Sprinkles, which is now open in the town center, bringing fresh baked treats and ice cream to Disney Springs. Founded in Beverly Hills in 2005 by Candace Nelson, the chain now operates more than 17 locations across the USA with plans to expand internationally. Oh, they're going over to International Drive to Universal. The Disney Springs location can be found waterside along the Central Spring, just across from the bridge from Raglan Road in Morimoto, Asia. Stepping inside, you are greeted by a stark minimalist interior of mostly white. It might not be everyone's idea of decor, but it looks modern and impeccably clean. There is a large menu board giving an overview of exactly what is on offer. Cupcakes are the main event, but Sprinkles also offers quite a few variations, including Sprinkles Sundaes, which is a cupcake and ice cream combo, cookies, ice cream, and shakes. Then you can see the menu here. If you can't quite make up your mind from the menu, a large display case gives you an up-close look at all the baked goods.
I'll tell you what, they got prime location there too, right on the spring. I mean, the view from that, it's a beautiful looking little place, isn't it? It kind of looks like something that would be up in Nantucket or something, the way it has a little lighthouse style roof on it.
Yeah, I would say, it's like that.
Yeah.
Ordering takes place on one of the three registers, and order pickup that takes place at the other end of the store. While you wait, you can see the cupcake production underway behind the glass wall. That's always cool when you can see the bakers and the folks that put the designs on there, doing that. I don't know. I find it interesting.
The thing I find interesting is the darn ATM Sprinkles machine that you're going to get. You can order your cupcake right out of there.
Yeah.
I have to try that. And I'm weird. I don't know if you guys agree with me on this. I love this, to see it. It looks cool. But I also hate it because the way I look at the self-serve, I don't like doing any self-serve in any store. You know how you have the automated checkout?
Right.
I don't mind it if you're grabbing one thing to go. But I hate using it. Only time I use them because I'll go to my Home Depot and it POs me, where the only register will be open is the commercial sales desk. And all the other registers are closed except for the self-checkout. And it makes me mad because three or four people could be working if that self-checkout wasn't there. And I don't like to use it because I think it's taking a job from somebody.
Right. I mean, I was just at, where was I? I was at Walmart yesterday, and I used one of those self-checkouts. And you're right, there was one woman standing there watching four lanes checking out the self-serve. So, three potential colleagues would have been there if they were regular lines, and they weren't. So I think it's mainly to save money for the company, right?
Yeah, and I try to boycott it. I like to use registers that are open, and when I'm in there I scream and yell in the morning if there's nobody working any register and that's the only thing is open. I make sure I tell the manager every morning I'm using this out of protest.
They must love you.
Yeah, but people are being laid off and Home Depot's making more money. Am I wrong?
Oh, you're absolutely right. But that's what they're there for.
But then if there's a problem with my one of my things is opened or it won't scan or won't... I mean, who am I going to? The machine ain't answering me.
Right. Well, I don't know. The way they have them up here is it's like one person stationed kind of watching things, to make sure you're not putting two things in the basket or whatever. So
yeah.
I would ask that person.
But my luck is my cupcake will come out wrong, and then I got to take it into somebody, and then I got to get, let somebody, whatever. I want to buy my cupcake and have a nice lady or man hand it to me and say, have a nice day. I don't want to be talking to a machine to eat. I just don't. You see those machines they have in New York City and all that? You order your pizza right out of the machine? Come on, man.
I haven't seen that yet, but that's interesting. They keep the pizza hot in the machine?
Yeah, they have all these. There's these places. I have never been, but I've heard about them. They got these areas now that hoagies and sandwiches and everything comes out of machines in different places. And they have dispensaries in New York and different cities now. It's going to get to the point where the machines are going to be rich and the people are going to be poor.
Who would have thought that George Jetson was going to be right?
Yeah, exactly. but do you guys agree? I mean, everybody should protest self-checkout.
Yeah.
Well, a couple stores around here have gotten rid of them. Lowe's, my local Lowe's, they got rid of it because nobody would use them.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, our Walmart in town about 7 years ago, they put them in, and either the folks in my town aren't smart enough to use the machines.
I'm going for that. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Or they were doing the protesting thing because about 3 years later, they took them right back out. So.
Yeah. I mean, I stopped. I won't. I refuse to use. It's just
in all seriousness, I do understand your point, and you know, you're right. I'm not going to dispute. That's exactly. It's a cost savings for the company. It certainly isn't easier for the customer, and you know, like me, I always screw it up, and I don't hit the SKU and unexpected item in the bagging area. You know,
exactly.
You know, messed it or something because I'm trying to put an extra, you know, washer or something in the bag, and you know, it's just I simply didn't do it right. You know.
Yeah. I just
real quick.
At it.
I was gonna tell you guys, you were talking about the pizza place. There's a, you have, I don't think either of you guys have been over to the Florida Mall when you've been down here on vacation.
No,
have
we
you?
Don't have all that kind of time, John.
Yeah, sorry, but it's a huge mall in between Disney and the airport. It's a lot of international shoppers there and stuff like that. Actually, that's probably what Disney Springs was aiming for when they kind of opened a lot of them stores out there, was to take some of that business away from the Florida Mall. But there's a sushi place in the middle of this mall, and there's one sushi chef, and he's making all the stuff, and he makes it up, and he wraps it, puts a UPC on it, and then puts it on a refrigerated conveyor belt that runs past all of the seats. And then the people are sitting in the seats, and they take off what they want. They have to ring it up and pay for it through an automated thing at your table. So they only really have to pay for one sushi chef, no waiters or waitresses to do the items. It's the funkiest looking thing you've ever seen in your life.
See, I wouldn't go there. I mean, it's I'm waiting on myself. You should be paying me. So I got to take my time to walk up and shoot my own SKU, hand my own money in. And that's the point I'm talking about with these machines, because – the one at the Lowe's would make me mad, and I think that's one of the other reasons. Every time you'd use it, they'd ask for your phone number. It's like, you're putting me to work to use your machine, man. you know what I'm talking about? You type in your number. Type in this. They ask you these questions. I just want to pay for this battery or this piece of wood. I don't want to leave. I don't want to be putting in my phone number, my zip code. Put in your zip code. What does that matter to this box of nails I'm buying, my zip code? I just want to pay you, man. And that's the point. Because then they're selling your information when you're punching in to other people.
Right. Yeah, I never give my zip code. Never, never,
but
never.
You have to take the time to decline it.
Right. It's an extra step.
It's like,
absolutely.
You're bothering me, man, to come to your store. I don't want to be bothered. I want to be waited on. Now they're making me at the sushi place wait on myself.
Yep.
Yeah, it just I don't like it. But the sprinkle machine looks cool. The sprinkle ATM. I get the coolness of it, but I'm not using it. I'm going inside.
All right. Well, at 2 a.m. when you need a cupcake, you might change your mind.
Nope, it won't happen. I'll stand out there and tell other people not to use it. I'll have my own sandwich board on. Don't buy the cupcakes
Doug's Disney vacation, standing outside the sprinkle shop protesting.
So if you visit outside of normal hours, which are 10 a.m. to 12 a.m., you can use the Sprinkles ATM. The machine has a touch screen which lets you choose a cupcake. Then it's delivered to you right there at the ATM. The Sprinkles ATM is open from 8 a.m. to 2 a.m. daily. Doug won't be looking at that.
No, I want to be waited on. For $4.95, hand me my darn cupcake.
They do look good, though.
They do look delicious. The place looks awesome. I mean, the whole area, I mean, it looks beautiful.
Let's see. The packaging at Sprinkles is fantastic and really underlines the premium intent of the product. Cupcakes are beautifully presented in a box, and there are even instructions on how to care for your cupcakes if you're not eating them right away.
Ooh,
Sprinkles cupcakes cost $4.95 each and come in around 16 varieties, including some seasonal offerings, sugar-free and vegan. So, you can even get a somewhat healthy cupcake, I guess, if you're into that kind of thing.
No, I'm looking forward to splitting one with my baby. But I'm not going to buy it from the ATM. Hey, you guys got to get on board. That's our next T-shirt. No self-checkout. WDW Main Street.
Wait a minute. Okay, next story.
And Park Hopper for all.
sorry.
Ample Hills Creamery now open. Man, everything opened up. Remember we were talking about everything's going to open. Now everything is open. Most things are open.
And John will get to experience it all before us then.
Yes, he will. Ample Hills Creamery, the latest high-end ice cream store at Walt Disney World, is now open at Disney's Boardwalk. Located in the former ESPN arcade next door to the Boardwalk Bakery, Ample Hills is a spinoff from the hugely successful Ample Hills Creamery in Brooklyn, New York, created by a husband-wife team in 2011. The store became a favorite of Disney CEO Bob Iger. A licensing deal to produce a Star Wars ice cream quickly followed, and that led to the opening
of the
location
in Walt Disney World. Although the ice cream is produced by Ample Hills, the natural store is owned and operated by Disney. If you guys noticed, I took over because Dennis had a work phone call. Stepping inside, you'll be struck by how large it is. Disney are expecting. That is bad. That is written wrong. It doesn't sound
Disney
right.
Disney is expecting.
Yeah, it says Disney are expecting it to be popular. It should be Disney is expecting it to be popular. And have built a large indoor queue area and two serving counters. There isn't any indoor seating, but there is plenty outside on the boardwalk, which we all know. The store looks awesome. The decor inside fits perfectly with the boardwalk theme. Light colors and a whimsical mural of Disney World surrounds the interior. That's pretty cool. You could see, John, the friendship boats on the wall.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's cool. We'll definitely have to check that out next weekend if we make our way out there. I think we will. So.
Yeah, you'll have to take some pictures for us. It's like in the background, you see the Tree of Life. Then it has the castle. It has the friendship boats. The ordering process is straightforward. Decide the flavor, decide the size, small or large. I want medium. A cone or cup, and any topping. And then let me move down here. Other flavors include... Oh, hold on. April Hills Creamery ice cream is made by hand using grass-fed cow's milk with organic cane sugar, and even a mix-ins are made in-house from scratch and very much like a bakery. There are a lot of flavors, over 10, and the flavors change often, so you don't know what you're going to get when you get there. There even is an exclusive Ample Hills flavor created just for the boardwalk, which is a fluffy orange marshmallow ice cream with house-made salty chocolate seashells. That sounds pretty good. I used to like the orange cream popsicles. Did you like them?
Yeah. I've always liked the orange cream thing. The ones I don't like are the circus peanuts, which are the what I was thinking of. So, yeah. But marshmallow, I don't know. It'd be worth a shot, right?
Absolutely. What's going to go? How bad could it be?
Yeah, really.
Other flavors include baked and unbaked vanilla ice cream with pieces of house-made chocolate chip cookies and brownie butter cookie dough, and PB wins the cup. I don't get that. Vanilla ice cream with peanut butter, chocolate flakes, and house-made peanut butter cups. Peanut butter cups, I'm in.
Yeah.
Our favorite was the ooey gooey butter cake. That sounds pretty good. Vanilla ice cream with cream cheese and gobs of St. Louis-style ooey gooey butter cake. I'm in.
Oof. That's sounds rich.
That's it, but it sounds good. The ice cream is premium, and it's really good. The mix-ins are so plentiful and rich that you really don't need any toppings added. Just the basic ice cream is equivalent to many stores' signature creations and sundaes. Do you have them local places where you go and add all the toppings around you?
Yeah. We got my Stone Cold Creamery and stuff like that around here. So
the butter pecan, the strawberry looks good. As you can expect, it isn't cheap, but it isn't outrageous either. Yeah, I think it is. No, I'm kidding. A small cup is $5.79. And a large is $7.49. A sundae, which is a base of either brownie or ooey gooey butter cake and ice cream, and a topping is $8.49. Cones are priced between $5.79 and $7.79 for a small, depending on the type of cone. You can also get a milkshake for $8.49. Now, why is a milkshake so much more?
Yeah, really.
It's got milk in it, plus the ice cream, right?
Jeez, no. There is no question the Ample Hills Creamery is far superior to the Edie's ice cream that was sold at the former Seashore Suites. Say that 10 times fast, Cindy Brady. And it's better than the nearby Beaches and Cream by a large margin. We'll be the judge of that. We also rank it higher than Epcot's Liars and de Glaces, and what, the Vivali Galate at Disney Springs. I don't know. I mean, I haven't tried any of these yet, so I can't say, and you guys haven't either. Next time you're at Epcot, take a short walk or boat ride over to check it out. You'll be glad you did. I'm sure it's awesome. I mean, you think Bob Iger's rich pockets would eat anything other?
My wife's favorite spot out then in Epcot is Italy's chocolate gelato. So, and it's $6.66 for a cup there. So it's an equivalent price.
I mean,
so,
what sadistic person made that price? I mean, you don't think they make it $6.67 or $6.63 or $6.70, man? I mean, why?
The number of the beast.
I mean, what's it telling you? If you eat this, I don't know, man. That's crazy.
The guy's name is Damien. That's right.
Yeah. Jeez, dude, we got to get him to change that price.
Don't worry, it'll go up soon, Doug. It'll be more than that shortly.
Yeah,
it'll be over 7 soon.
Yeah. But I want to try this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, with all the great food, and I've said this on previous shows, I mean, I think a lot of people do this. I just try to cut desserts out because there's so many savory things that I want to try that I just either don't have room or I want to get something else in later on that, you know, that's the thing I cut out of the diet, I guess, is the ice cream and stuff like that. I just can't, I just don't have any room for it.
I just love the idea that I want to go in here just to see the murals on the wall because they look so awesome. Were you looking at them, Dan, of all the pictures of parks and stuff? I like the idea that they actually made the parks part of the decor in the place.
Yeah. Well, I like they're very beautiful, and just like the World of Disney store has those the murals up on the ceilings and stuff. I mean, I like the fact that, as the story that you read said, that we have all these ice creameries, if you will, now, you know, the bakery, or what used to be the bakery, this new one, and then, you know, over at the Beach Club, Beaches and Cream. I think, you know, I don't know. I always find Ghirardelli's downtown just so crowded. I just, you talk about claustrophobia, I can't stand being in there. It's too crowded, and it's just crazy. I just don't enjoy going in that particular location. So I'm
hoping
go ahead, John.
I was going to say, it's those free chocolates they're giving away. It's attracting the crowd in there.
You're right.
Yeah, we were there the one day when a reporter was doing a live commercial from there. Me and Brenda were there. It was pretty cool.
But, you know, anyways, I'm hoping it kind of disperses the ice cream eating crowd. But I guess, you know, if you're not at the Beach Club, you're not going to go all the way over there just to get an ice cream. But, but it's another place, like you keep saying, Doug, another offering, another, you know, like you used to say for Pico's Bills there. Even though you might not get an ice cream, the fact that you know that you can and it's there makes you feel good.
Oh, exactly. I mean, it keeps coming. There's more there. There's so many eateries here. I mean, our next trip is going to be based more on food than rides, trying to try different things. I'm more excited about the food than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on that for a couple of years now, even before Disney Springs, but I'm totally with you there. Rides are, I'm not going to say secondary, but they're much less important than they used to be to our trips anyways.
I mean, I'm excited about the new Soarin' movie for sure, River of Lights, and seeing the new the Frozen ride over at Epcot. I'm looking forward to those three things, but I'm more looking forward to trying the I'm more looking forward to Disney Springs than anything else myself right now.
Yeah.
And the Flying Fish being reopened, hopefully by the time I get down there, that might be something else me and Brenda might decide that, you know, we don't know which way we're going to go here, and that's the exciting part. And then add Food and Wine on top of that. It's like, what do you do?
You got Tiffin's over at the Animal Kingdom, too. I mean, there's just so many. I mean, you could probably lay out a trip, your next trip, whenever it is, and not go to anything that you've done before, either a newly renovated attraction or a new restaurant. Or I mean, you could, you know, except for the resort, pretty much everything might be a new experience for you, or most things, anyways.
There's going to be a ton of them, I can tell you that much. I mean, even at, because me and you, neither one of us has gotten to eat over at, now I'm losing my mind, the Jungle Cruise, the Skipper's Cantina.
Right, right. That's like old news now.
Yeah.
That's like, oh, that's been there for a whole 3 months now. Yeah. That's old, boring news, right?
Just hoping by the time we get over there, it's not cheeseburger and chicken nuggets. I hope they don't change the menu drastically. So.
Right. We heard that they had already tweaked the menu once. And you're right, John. We may not. Well, maybe they'll put burgers in there with a fixings bar.
And they can take the heads off the shrimp, I'll tell you that much. Yeah. What's up next, buddy?
Yeah, preferred parking now available at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Disney's Hollywood Studios is now offering preferred parking, which makes the service available at all four Walt Disney World theme parks. Priced at $15 in addition to the regular $20 parking fees, the preferred parking area is located near the front of each parking lot. At Disney's Hollywood Studios, preferred parking is in the stage lot, at Disney's Animal Kingdom in the Peacock lot, at Epcot in the Maze lot, and at Magic Kingdom in the Jafar lot. Preferred parking is also available for $15 to guests who currently receive free parking, such as resort hotel guests or annual pass holders. Disney first began offering preferred parking at Magic Kingdom in March of this year.
Yay.
Joy, joy.
So $35 for the day if you don't have if you're not a staying on property or an annual pass holder.
Yeah, that's a big hit.
Yeah, I mean, and I know what it's going to do, because like on a nasty day or a totally hot day or one of those days you want to get in and out, you might be tempted to pay the $15 if you're a resort guest. I know I wouldn't, but I could see paying that to be close. If you're driving over, because if it's only 50, you'll say it's only $15, I get to park up front.
Right. You've already invested. The 20's already gone either way, right?
Yeah, because you're already a resort guest, so you get this, you know, that you get to park for free as a resort guest.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So me and Brenda pulling in there, and it's early in the morning, or like we have Brenda's mom with us that, you know, older, so it might be worth the $15. It won't be worth it, but we might do it because you're going to say it's only $15. And
right,
I see where
right.
They're going to get a lot of people to do it.
Yeah, make that decision. Or the skies open up and it's pouring out, but it's going to clear. You know it's not going to rain all day. You might say, well, let's at least, you know, not have to walk or, you know, use the tram or whatever. You might go for it.
Yep, for the $15, I mean, it's just, I don't like it, but I know it's going to be, that lot will never be empty, I'll tell you that much.
No, you're probably right. Probably right. Let's see. This is interesting. It's a Small World closing for refurbishment this summer. The closure is scheduled to begin on August 22nd through to September 15th, reopening to guests on September 16th. So they're going to take this Walt Disney World Classic down for the a good chunk of the summer here to do some refurbishment that I don't think has been done since they added the Toy Story stuff in there, right?
It's been a while. I just don't understand why they constantly do the makeover. They shut down a lot of these rides in summertime. I don't get it. Do you?
Yeah. No. All I can figure is they're trying to just space out the refurbs so that it's done throughout the calendar year. But you're right, Doug. They used to go through great lengths not to do that during the summer, and it seems like that's changed as of the last 5 years or so. It's becoming pretty routine that these, it's a Small World, although not an e-attraction, certainly one that most people that are going to Disney World do go on. Whether they love it or hate it, they do go on it. It is a classic, like I said.
It's almost like your penance. You have to do that to really know
yes.
You're at the Magic Kingdom or something, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's like, yeah, your first trip, everybody has to do that. It's like you're not in a club. You know, it's like, you know, and it's hard. I won't say suffer through it, but you got it. I like it. But
right.
You like it, but it's also like it'll drive you nuts at the same time.
You like it, but you fear ever getting stuck right in the middle of it somewhere, you know? That's what I'm always afraid is going to happen, so.
And hear it over and
over.
Over
and over.
Oh, yeah, you get stuck on that last, when somebody's getting off the boat that's taking a while, or something's stuck, and you're stuck at the very end, and it keeps playing over and over again.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
That's all I have, unless you gentlemen have anything.
No, that's all I have, Dan. I mean, I was just looking at different closures. There's odds and ends closing for the summer. It just, like I said, that always baffles me of how they shut down certain things during that time when there's least crowded times of the year. You think that it's a small work and go down, because that is one of the biggest kid rides on property.
Yeah, and it's a people eater too. I mean, that, you know, between the queue line and those boats that are pretty full there, you know, it takes quite a few people out of Fantasyland there. So without that being opened, it's going to put more pressure on those attractions that are left.
I can't wait to get down there. I hope. I mean, it sounds like it might be closed when, if I go in the summer, it might be closed when I'm there.
It's going to break your heart.
It'll break Brenda's heart more than mine. She enjoys dragging me on there every once in a while.
Put the song on your phone and ride through Pirates of the Caribbean.
there you go.
Yeah, and then whoever's on Pirates of the Caribbean with me is going to throw me overboard.
Probably.
Because
yeah.
I know I would. I'd be like, yo, shut that phone off. So, but I don't know, guys. That's going to be about it for this week's show. There's plenty of news out there, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, yeah. A lot of exciting things, a lot of openings. I mean, now, if, like I said, we've been talking about constructions and walls and waiting for things to open, and now they're all popping open at the same time, which is exciting. And like you keep saying, Doug, it's exciting, but it's, you know, in a way, it's teasing us because we're close but yet so far from going that it makes us just want to get there even more so.
Well, we're looking forward to John being there next week. He could check on some of these things for us and give us reports. We can yell on him, but we'll also be happy at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if anything, I think we'll be at Epcot, maybe Hollywood Studios, and so we'll probably at least, I don't know if we'll get an ice cream at the parlor, but we'll at least go in there and check out those murals and stuff. That really looks like interesting. So
yeah, take some pictures, and if you have the Fast Pass, get on Soarin' and let us know how much better it looks. Do it. Take one for the show, you poor guy.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to hearing how much better that looks.
Absolutely.
So, well, that's going to be it for us for this week, guys. Please go over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. Even if you have to yell at us, anyway, it helps us. You can follow John over at Beer Solo. He gives his pick of the day, which we are enjoying. You can follow Dennis at Oak Manor, me at Grumpy6767. You can find us all at WDW Main Street. And the same thing over at Facebook at WDW Main Street. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. And we want to say thanks to all of our troops out there.
Yeah, and don't forget why this is Memorial Day weekend. It's not just a big drunk fest. There's a purpose for it.
Yeah, so thanks for everybody that served for us, guys. You got anything else, Dan?
Nope, that's going to do it. I echo your sentiments, and we'll talk to you guys.
America, spread your golden wings, sail on freedom's wind, cross the sky. Great bird, with your golden dreams, flying high, flying high.
Your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
I have a dream this afternoon that the brotherhood of man will become a reality in this day with this faith.
30 feet down, 2.5, picking up some dust. 4 forward, 4 forward, drift into the right a little. Contact light. Okay, engine stop.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
That's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.